weeks. Brian and his team didn't leave here till 1:30 in the morning last night. We're back here at about 7 this morning. And so I'm going to just say this. If you go up to one of our team members and say, you know what we should have done, just expect a throat punch. That's all. There was your warning. So it's going to come from nowhere. Listen, I'll just tell you this. Over the next couple weeks, things are going to ramp up. There's going to be different things happening. Everything's not in place. One thing we do know is the words are hard to see. We're moving the words up on the screen. They're programmed for the other rooms, so we're going to get that taken care of. Children's ministry classrooms are barely set up. They're barely looking like what they're going to look like in the future. You're going to get a chance to see all that. Hopefully our kettle corn guy is showing up. He's shown up. Is that right? He's there. He's popping corn. He's doing all kinds of crazy things for us. You guys apparently came hungry. You've cleaned out Krispy Kremes already, so we'll know to keep those coming. And I couldn't be more excited about today. I know you've got kids with you, so I'm going to try and be as brief as possible. You know, when you plan things, whether it's planning a holiday, dinner at your house, you know, maybe like Lisa and I hosted our first family Christmas this year, and that was kind of nerve-wracking. We wanted the house to be beautiful. We wanted everything to go well. And my oldest son and his fiance are planning their wedding, and they want that to go beautiful, and they want that to go well. And when we get into that planning mode, usually we have this ideal. We have this kind of imagination of how things are supposed to look, how things are supposed to be, right? Whether you're planning your first party or you're planning a big reception or you're planning a wedding or you're planning something that matters to you, you've got this idea of what it's supposed to be like. And then what happens is the day comes around and you kind of find things didn't happen the way you thought they were going to. And I'm going to confess something to you today that all of us, including me, probably especially me, had some ideas and some dreams and imaginations of what everything was supposed to look like today. Because this is a historic day. This is huge for our church. This is a landmark. This is truly a historic. I don't throw that word around lightly. This is truly a historic moment for our church. Some of you have been around long enough that you knew that Heritage Church, which used to be our prior name, Heritage Church was started here at the community center. But those people know that it looks a whole lot different today than it did back then. God has done amazing things here. But I'm going to tell you this. We wanted you to be able to walk in and just be wowed. And maybe you already were, but I want you to know there was even a bigger wow that I wanted. Because I have expectations and I have imaginations of how things are supposed to be. And I'm going to confess to you that I had those because, listen, I measure success like you do by things. I measure success the same way you do, by bells and whistles and decorations and how everything looks and how everyone responds. And so when things don't go according to plan, here's what happens. You get met with a little frustration and disappointment, and you're let down a little bit because your system of measurement wasn't met. And I'm going to tell you that if you and I aren't careful in today's culture, we might just mistakenly begin to measure the success of a church by its sound system, by how many people are sitting in a room, by how good things look, by how comfortable the chairs are, by how cool the lighting is. Listen, I love all those things. I love screens that take 4.5 seconds to pop up. You wouldn't believe how quickly these things go. I love these new speakers. I love that lighty thing of the Summit Mountains. I love that. Brian and his uncle did that. That's awesome. I love all of this stuff, but listen to me. This is not what defines our success. When we're talking about the wins of Summit Church, I want to tell you that there are three things I know for sure that the Bible tells us we can measure our success by. And if you have your notes, I want you to write this down. As a church, we measure our greatest wins by the scoring of number one, saved lives. Suppose one of you, this is what Jesus said in Luke 15, 4 through 7. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and a lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one until you found it, it being the lost sheep? When found, you can be sure that you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing when you got home, calling all your friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep." Count on it, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Can I tell you the way that God celebrates, what God celebrates over? God is celebrating because this church took a huge step forward today. But God's not celebrating because we got cooler screens, because we got a better sound system, because we got awesome lighting, and because we have a bunch of cool things for the children's ministry. That is not the reason that God celebrates Summit's victories. Summit's victories are measured in heaven by how many lives come to Jesus Christ. This is a church, if you're going to be a part of Summit Church, you need to remember, this is a church that will always, always, always put the unbeliever before the believer. Because our mission on earth, the whole mission of Jesus Christ was to come here so that the lost would be saved, so that those who did not know Jesus, those that did not have a relationship with him, could have a relationship with him. And that is the mission that we've been given. Love God, love people, make disciples. That's what you and I are supposed to do. And so if you come in from Sunday to Sunday and you go, "Well, I got to be honest with you, I couldn't see the words or the seats. When I tested them out the first time, they were more comfortable. And didn't you have the vinyl covered one? These are clothy and they're kind of itchy. And you know, I walked the kids and it's a long walk to get my kids down to the elementary." It's easy to begin to judge the success of a church by things like that, but I want you to tell you this, there'll never be a time in which God measures our success that way. He'll always be asking this question: how many people were introduced to me this morning? The Bible says, and the church was added to daily. I want to be the kind of church that says 5 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ this weekend, 10 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ this weekend, 15 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ this weekend. And I want you to know that that's happening. That's why this room is full of people today, is because many of you gave your hearts and lives to Jesus at this church. Secondly is this: as a church, we measure our greatest wins by the scoring of changed lives. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. I love that. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish or non-Jewish, religious or irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave or free, mean nothing. In other words, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, heavy, skinny, tall, short, woman, man, child, elder, it does not matter because of your new life. It says, from now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, of love, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you do, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Can I tell you this? That many of you in here began at this church with marriages that were on the verge of failure, with many of you confessing that you were on the verge of divorce. Many of you began at this church hopeless and heartbroken, not seeing a future. Many of you began at this church with no purpose, with not understanding that God had a purpose, a unique divine purpose for your life. Many of you began at this church living a mediocre life. Those are your words to me. Those are things that you've told me, but you didn't just tell me that. You came and said, "Listen, I want you to know that this church has been instrumental in saving our marriage. This church has been instrumental in helping me find my purpose in Christ. This church has been instrumental in helping me find my highest and best in Jesus Christ. This church has been instrumental in helping me become a better parent." I want you to know that God measures our success by the amount of lives that are changed through the renewal of our minds, through hearing. The Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. And I want you to know that lives are being changed here week in and week out. That's because you're submitting your life to the plan that God's got for you. And at Summit, we'll always believe that lives can be transformed by the power of God in no matter what building we meet in. And no matter if we were able to get the blinds closed, which we were not able to get the blinds closed, no matter if things go well or if things are frustrated or if things don't go the way they're supposed to, God can change lives no matter what. And then third and finally is this. I know you're sitting there thinking, man, is he always going to preach this short in this building? The answer is no. Number three is this, finally. As a church, we measure our greatest wins by the scoring of loved lives. Saved lives, changed lives, and loved lives. Not all of us share the same past. Not all of us have the same stories. I'm gonna say this. Most of us don't even have familiar stories. The things that we're driven by, the things that motivate us, the things that we struggle with, the things we came from, our backgrounds, our ethnicity, our color, our struggle, we probably do not share each other's experiences. But I can tell you this, and I want you to listen closely. There is not a single person in this room that is not motivated by love to get more love. You want to be in relationship with your children because of love. You had children because you needed someone to love and you needed them to love you back. You got married because you wanted someone to love and someone who could love you back. We are in friendships because we want to be loved. We come to a place like this because we identify with the message of love. There is not a single person that you will ever meet in your job, in the grocery store, in the bank, in your neighborhood that does not crave love as deeply as you do. Every single person's life needs love. It's the universal language that everyone speaks. It's the universal appetite that everyone has. Everyone needs love. I was encouraged this week as I was talking to Rich Lester, who's the executive pastor at Emmaus Church, the ones who are going to be moving in, who bought our building over there. And he said they had hired a consultant to come in from a mega church and advise them on how to greet people, how to welcome people. Little did he know that that consultant showed up early at the theater. They were supposed to meet at a restaurant nearby. He met at the theater and came into our service. He told them, and this was the story he relayed to me, he said, whatever that church is doing that's currently meeting in there, you need to do that. He said, you do exactly what they're doing. He said, whatever they're doing, just copy whatever they're doing. I want you to know that what people identify with is love, even if it's expressed through a smile, a handshake. I'm glad to have you here this morning. We're happy to see you here this morning. Hi, how are you? I'm going to introduce myself. I'm so sorry. Did you know you went to church with so many other people? Right? I looked at this room and I went, I don't know half these people. Have they come in here the whole time? Listen to what Jesus said. Love is so important that Jesus made it a commandment. John 13:34-35. The kids are being awesome, by the way. Some of you adults are poorly behaved, but the kids are being great. So now I'm giving you this new commandment. Love each other. Three words, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciple. Love is the binding agent that identifies us as a follower of Christ. If you can't love people, I'm going to tell you that God is not in you. The Bible says that. God is love, and if you do not love people, then it means God is not in you. I want this church to be marked by, if nothing else, marked by love. Marked by the fact that we can love anyone who walks through that door. There is a place for any person who walks through that door, any person who craves love, any person who's willing to give love. We want to welcome that person in this place. No matter what your story is, no matter what your color is, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your size or age is, no matter what your gender is, you are loved. Listen to this passage in 1 Peter 4:8. He calls us to show deep love to continue a ministry of love. Most important of all, continue to show deep love. Can I change a word? And I don't think God will be angry with me if I switch a word. I'm going to call it mature love. Deep's a word that we kind of confuse a lot. Man, I went to this church and they just went deep. They were deep in the word. They were deep. Deep's just one of those weird things we like to say because it makes us feel deep. But what God wants from us is maturity, right? Wholeness. So I want you to hear this. We need to practice a mature love. The kind of love that covers sin without excusing sin, right? The kind of love that enables me to be able to say to you, God's got a better plan, a higher and better plan for our lives, that you don't have to stay in mediocrity. You don't have to stay in a broken marriage. That marriage can be healed by the power of Christ. You don't have to continue to struggle with life-controlling sin. You don't have to continue in the things that are keeping you distant from God, that God can bring change to your life. The kind of love that enables us to speak truth to one another and know that we have each other's best interest in mind. Because listen, show deep love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. You know why we all get to gather here? Not because we are not sinners, but because we are lovers of God. And when we love God, it enables us to cover each other in God's love. I don't see you through your sin. I see you as a child of God. I don't see you in your brokenness. I don't see you according to the story of all that you've struggled with. I see you as a child of God, a co-heir of Jesus, as one who's been covered by the sacrifice of what Jesus did on the cross. Your sin's no greater than mine and mine no greater than yours. We all struggle together. We're all moving towards our highest and best life in Him. 1 John 3:16, this is what I'll close on. We know what true love looks like because of Jesus. Listen, there's a lot of counterfeit versions of love out there today. Things that we say are done in the name of love that aren't love at all. They're a twisted, perverted counterfeit, something that somebody's taken and kind of wrote the name love over it. They scratched out what it really is and wrote the name love on it. And so we use that name. We know what true love looks like because of Jesus. He gave His life for us. Listen, and He calls us to give our lives for our brothers and sisters. I want us to be a church marked by sacrifice, by selflessness, by thinking, this is not about me today. This is about what's best for the rest. Listen, there are songs that we do that I go, it's okay. Songs that we do that I love that you might hate. Thank God we don't vote on worship, right? There might be a message that you connect with and one that doesn't make any sense to you at all. We have to believe this, and don't worry about kids. It's okay for them to cry in service. We invited them all in, so just you're welcome to stay put, unless they're bothering you, the parent, and you just want to go work them over in the lobby. That's totally fine too. I get it. We bless you for that. Listen, what we do as a church is we say, if this helps reach more people in the name of Jesus Christ, if this helps expand our influence, if this helps bring more people close to God, because I'm going to tell you what, if we did the worship that I preferred, we'd be doing stuff from 92, stuff that I know all the words to, stuff that I grew up on, stuff that brought me close to Jesus, but thank God we don't. And if I talked about just the things that were important to me, it would be about two or three topics. And I just keep doing those over and over again. And if we did children's ministry to cater to just your kids' needs, it'd be a very limited and dysfunctional children's ministry. Love allows us to sacrifice what we want for what others need. That's how we measure success. Is through saved lives, through changed lives, and through loved lives. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? We're going to give each one of us an opportunity to just make a brief commitment today. Lord, You've brought us into this place as a moment of celebration, as a marker of the things that you've been doing in our lives, as a moment in which we can just pause and breathe and smile and high five and hug and celebrate your goodness in our lives, but we get to see it all together in one room. How amazing is this, God? But we believe in Jesus' name that this is not, even as good as all this is not the definition of our success as a church. The definition of our success as a church is simple: saved lives, changed lives, loved lives. And that will be our individual mission. And if you're committed to those things as a church, would you stick your hands straight up in the air and in your heart cry out, yes, God, I don't want there to be another priority in my life. I don't want there to be another measurement of success other than saved lives, changed lives, and loved lives. And so, God, that's our commitment to you. That's our vow to you as a church. And we pray all as if it's already happened, thanking you in advance for it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.